Okay, good morning, everyone. Happy Hanukkah to one and all. I know I'm going up against a couple of people this morning, which is the counts for why the smaller crowd than usual, but I will try to accommodate anyone who needs to attend any of the simples that are going on. I'll try to make it a little bit faster than usual. We have here in the yontif of Hanukkah, obviously the dominant element is the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiros Hanukkah. The focus always revolves around lighting the menorah, and I will just tell you that from a personal standpoint, from my own personal feeling, you know, every yontif has its own halachas. You have halachas for Rosh Hashanah and for Yom Kippur and so on and so forth, Pesach, Sukkot, everything. I always felt that the halachas of Hanukkah was the most difficult one to understand, the most difficult ones to conceptualize, even though there are far more halakhas when you deal with Sukkot and Pesach. But nevertheless, to understand all the shilas that come up, all the various prosim, all the details that come up of lighting menorahs, very, very difficult inyan. And I'd like to try this morning to conceptualize a little bit, slightly different than usual, what usually happens in this year. I'd just like to try to talk a little bit more on the understanding of the mitzvah, and it obviously will play out in terms of halacha as well. So we begin here, even before we look at the Gemara, in terms of the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, so we know that everyone is obligated in this mitzvah. Everyone, even though it is a time-oriented mitzvah, but women are also obligated in the mitzvah of menorah, because the Gemara tells us, "Apein hayuv also hanes," because the nes that took place benefited the women also. There is a difference of opinion amongst Rishonim how exactly that's to be understood, whether that means that they simply were the beneficiaries of the mitzvah, or whether it means that they were central to the happening of the mitzvah. The occurrence of the mitzvah took place through women, both of which are true when it comes to Hanukkah. So therefore, everybody is obligated to light the menorah. And as such, the simple understanding that a person would have would be that the mitzvah is plain and simply a mitzvah on everybody. So with that in mind, we look at the Gemara here, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos on the sheet, the top right. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, mitzvah Chanukah ner ishu besa. The Gemara says that the mitzvah of Chanukah is ner ishu besa, famous word. Ner ishu besa means a candle for a man and his household. A candle for a man and his household. Meaning that according to the original takana, according to the way the mitzvah was originally put forth, you just need simply to have one candle every night, and that would take care of the entire household. Now that seems a little odd, because if it's a mitzvah on every person, so how could we get away with just having the mitzvah of one candle per household? Okay, then the Gemara proceeds to say, as is well known, by Mahadrin Neru Chalecha Ze'echa, that the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles evolved. The mitzvah evolved over time, and that apparently at some point the Mahadrin, those who wanted to beautify the mitzvah, impacted on the mitzvah that now each person in the household lit a menorah, Neru Chalecha. So that is closer to what we would have expected it should have been in the outset. And then it says, I'm a Hadrin, and then you had even people who were more interested in glorifying the mitzvah, and they ordained that the mitzvah should be done in a different manner. So here we have a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that according to Beis Shammai, you would light 8 candles on the first night, 7 on the second night, 6 on the third night, you'd be going down in order. Beis Hillel Omrim, but we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, that Yom Rishon Mazlok Achas, that on the first night you light 1, you can't be Eilich most of the holy. First night you light 1, then the second night you light 2, and so forth. So there you have it. So the mitzvah is Ner Hanukkah in three different levels. You had the original mitzvah, which was Ner Ishu Beso, that there should be just one candle per household. And then it evolved that you had the Mahadrin, you had people who said we have to do more than that. So each person lit one. Then you have the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, which according to Beis Hillel, which we hold the halacha, means that every night you light additional candles. As is known, we spoke about this once, there is a very fundamental difference here between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim in practice, in terms of whether everyone, we all follow today the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, where possible, we all try to light every night additional candles. So the Ashkenazim have it that everyone in the family lights additional candles, and the Sephardim have it that only the head of the household lights, one menorah is lit in the Sephardic household, but each night has additional candles. That is a machlokas, the basis for that machlokas, that really I don't want to get involved with now, but it really comes from the question of whether the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin were adding on to what the Mahadrin said, or whether they were going back to the original Takana, that's the machlokas we told us in the Rambam, and so we once spoke about this, but that's the way you have it. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, everybody agrees that in its origin, in its outset, fundamentally, the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles is one candle per household, ner ishu beiso. And in fact, we still hold this to be true. If a person was in a case of great need and did not have the ability to light additional candles, so it would suffice to light every night of Hanukkah one candle. If that's all you had, so then fine, so you light one candle, and that would be the end of it. Because what the original way the mitzvah was devised, ner ishu beiso, still remains. In other words, we all practice the chumrah of the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin, and that's the way it should be, that's the way it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. But the fact is that if it was necessary, if a person was in a case where it was very difficult to light a menorah, or it was a situation where they only had one candle, for some reason they got a shipwreck somewhere and they only had one candle, and so then that would be fine. You light the one candle, each night you light one candle, and that would be good enough. Now, the problem with this is that this seems very strange, because if in fact it is a mitzvah on every person in the household to light a menorah, if in fact that is true, like other mitzvahs where the mitzvah is on every person, so then how do we get off by saying that you only need one per household? In other words, in the same way you have there are other mitzvahs that a person is obligated to do, and every single person has to do it. Like, for example, the mitzvah, the man that puts on every day tefillin. So that's a chiyuv on every man. So you don't say, well, as long as it's a minyan, one person put on tefillin, that's good enough. We don't say that. It's a chiyuv on each yachid. So it's a chiyuv on each individual. So it should be when it comes to the lighting of the Chanukah candles as well. Why is it that we have this, the mitzvah this way? So it would seem from this Gemara that in fact we have it wrong. It would seem that the mitzvah is really not on every individual, but rather it's a mitzvah on the household. That every household has to have, every house has to have a candle. Much in the same way that the mitzvah of mezuzah says that every house has to have a mezuzah, and it makes no difference how many people live in the house. If you have 10 people living in the house, you still have one mezuzah. You don't say each person has to put up their own mezuzah, right? One mezuzah takes care of the house. Why? Because the mezuzah is considered chovas habayis, that is an obligation that's on the household. And so it would seem from this Gemara that when they made the mitzvah, when the Chachamim made the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, they also said it that way. That it should be a mitzvah that the household has a menorah, and that's good enough. And were that to be the case, if the mitzvah is on the household, so then, meaning that really not so much on the household, but the on the house, the title of the shiur, I realized after I sent it out, a little misleading. It's not so on the household, but on the house. If that were the case, then if you had a homeless person, so then that person would not have the mitzvah at all. Much in the same way that a person who has no home has no mitzvah of mezuzah, he's not guilty of not fulfilling the mitzvah of mezuzah, because the mitzvah of mezuzah only applies if you have a house. If you don't have a house, you don't have the chiyuv, you don't have the mitzvah. So a person who did not have a house of his own, right, so then that person would not need to have a menorah. So it would seem. However, if you look at the next Gemara on the top left, we have a page and a half later in the same sugya in Shabbos, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha said, Achdenoi Chai is Diner Chanukah. Achdenoi Chai is Diner Chanukah means that a guest in someone's home is obligated to have a menorah. Okay, meaning that you're a guest in someone's, not your house, but you're a guest in somebody's house, you have an obligation to light the Hanukkah candle. Now that creates a problem, because you'll say, well, if in fact if the mitzvah is only on the house, that the house has to have a menorah, and as long as the house has a menorah, that's fine. So then, why is it that a person who's a guest has any sort of obligation to light the menorah? It's not my house. It's the person whose house I'm staying in who lights the menorah. What do I have to be involved in this for? Right? And the Gemara proceeds to say, Om Rav Zera said, Meresh ki avina beiraz mishtatatma bepriti. Apparently, in the times of the Gemara, they had also some sort of kolel set up, except they had a little differently, that the husband, the man who was learning, sometimes would travel away from home to learn. He would go to a great expert in the Gemara, and he would go to that and live by that person. So as such, they were separated from their wives over Hanukkah. So Rav Zera said that when I was staying in somebody else's house, I was boarding in someone's home, so I used to mishtatav from the priti behavi shvisa. I used to contribute, I used to participate in the mitzvah by giving him some coins. I would buy a part of the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, but busted in a CV is a sub, that's what I did before I got married. But after I got married, I said, Hashtavate lo tarichna, the kamadliko lai, the gazbe soy. Now I don't have to do this anymore because my wife is lying for me in my home. This is the Gemara, cryptic Gemara, generated enormous amounts of discussion in the poskim, these four lines of Gemara. But nonetheless, for the purposes right now, for our purposes, what you see from this Gemara is the fact that it seems that the obligation of lighting the Hanukkah candles is on every person. Because were that not the case, then just as Rav Zera was boarding in someone's home, so why does he have to even chip in? Why must he even give coins if it's an obligation simply on the house? On the other hand, if you'll tell me that, well, it's an obligation, so you'll say, all right, so obviously you see from here, the truth is that it's a chiyuv on every person. Well, if it's a chiyuv on every person, then why did the Chazal set up the mitzvah in such a strange way? Why did the Chazal make it that all you need is ner ishu beso? Why should it be that all you need is one candle for the whole household? It shouldn't be that way. If it's a chiyuv on every yachid, if it's a chiyuv, an obligation on every person, then the same way that every man has to put on tefillin, everybody has to light a menorah. So what's the difference? Why did it take the Mahadran to do this? It should have been without the Mahadran. That's the way it should have been from the outset. It's very strange to understand what exactly the obligation is. So we find here in the Pnei Yoshua, one of the great commentaries on the Gemara, we have it here on the sheet. So the Pnei Yoshua actually adds another point to the discussion. The Pnei Yoshua adds the question that if in fact you'll say, perhaps someone sitting here thought of this, that you'll say that really it is an obligation on each individual. So why then did they make the mitzvah that only the head of the household lights the menorah when they originally devised the mitzvah? So you'll say that that's because he is being a shliach for everybody in the house. That's what you'll say. Now, really everyone's doing it, but he's the shliach for everybody. So the Pnei Yoshua raises the fact that we have a rule which is stated in the Gemara of the Kedushin, well-known rule, when it comes to doing mitzvahs, that mitzvah bo yosemi bishlucho, that we have a concept that if a person has the choice, it is better to do the mitzvah oneself rather than to designate a shliach. Because of the fact that when you do the mitzvah yourself, so you're involved, your whole body is involved in doing the mitzvah, when you designate a shliach, so it's like somebody else is doing it, so even though you get credit for many mitzvahs, you get credit if you do it through a shliach. Some things not, obviously, right? Some things that the mitzvah should be gufo, can't make a shliach to put on film for you, can't make a shliach to daven for you. However, certain mitzvahs you could do through a shliach. So, but nevertheless, we have a concept that it's better to do it yourself. So why does the Tanya show us? That makes it all the more difficult to understand. Why did the rabbis devise the mitzvah in this manner? It's such a strange thing. If every person has a chiyuv to light the menorah, so then it should be that every person should light it. And it's not good enough to say that one person will be a shliach. Yes. That's an exception. That's correct. That's an exception. We mentioned this, correct? That Shalach Manos is a notable exception. That there, because it's derived from the pasuk, Shalach Manos Ishla Re'ehu, that is the pasuk implies should be sent through a shliach. Right. And we would, just for the record, if you're starting to plan for Purim already, it's never too early to start. But the fact of the matter is that you don't. That's only a chachila. You don't have to do the other. You could be up to the Shalach Manos even if you handed it straight to the person. But the chachila is brought down that yes, that's correct. That's an exception. But other than that, that's a notable exception. Other than that, the chiyuv is every mitzvah you're supposed to do yourself. So that's the Tanei Yeshua's kash. Okay, so the Tanei Yeshua says the widely quoted comment that he said here. So he says, Ella the Shani Hacha, the Tanei Yeshua says it's different by the mitzvah of Chanukah. He says, She'ein Hacha Iker HaMitzvah Ella B'Samach HaPir Shusarab M'Shul B'Shun Persum Enisa. Says the Tanei Yeshua, you know why it is this way? It's because, after all, when everything's said and done, the mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles, what's the point of the mitzvah? The point of the mitzvah is to publicize the miracle, Persume Nisa. So if it's going to be Persume Nisa, where are you going to do it? So the mitzvah, as we know, in its inception, the mitzvah was meant to be done outside of a person's house. Right, that's the way it's done today in Eretz Yisrael. That's done outside of a person's house. That's the way it was supposed to be. It's supposed to publicize the miracle to the public. So as such, says the Tanei Yeshua, therefore, since that's the way, that was the whole point of the mitzvah, so therefore he says that, in other words, if you're gonna publicize the mitzvah, and the best way to publicize it is to put it out in the street, because of the fact that that's where people will see it. It's not just the original mitzvah was not meant exclusively for the family members. Today in the Golos, that's the way it's done. But originally it was meant to be for the people going in the street. So therefore, and then there's controls, in fact it is that way today, people do it outside. So therefore, if that's the idea, so then really, there's not such a big point that you should have more and more candles. That doesn't really make such a difference. The main thing is that there should be some publicizing of the miracle. So he says, Mishum kach hitiru chovas mitzvazu, ki'ilu chovas habayis. So he says that therefore they made the mitzvah to be done this way as if it was an obligation on the house. Meaning it's not really. Really it's an obligation on every individual. And it has to be that way because otherwise it would seem that otherwise a guest should not have any obligation to light. Why should the Achtanoi in the other Gemara, why should Rebbe Zera have to light the candles when he's by, or chip in when he's by someone boarding someone's home? It's not his mitzvah. So it must be, right, it must be that really it is his mitzvah. So if that's the case, so then why is it that one person does it for the whole family? The answer is because the nature of the mitzvah is to publicize the miracle. So therefore, it's enough that you just have, each household should have a light put outside of it. So everybody who walks by says, sees it and says, I know it's Hanukkah. Having 10 candles wouldn't make that much of a difference. In other words, I got the message as soon as I walk by the house and I see the light, so I understand that it's Hanukkah. So one candle's enough. So in effect, it became like an obligation on the house, but really it's not. So therefore, even though it's true by all mitzvahs, it's mitzvah by Yosem Rishulcho, better to do it yourself than through a shliach, but for this particular mitzvah, the logic sort of dictated that it should be done in this manner. But really it would be an obligation on every person. Really it would be an obligation on every person, so it seems from the Tanei Yeshua. So the way we do the mitzvah is a bit odd, it's a bit unusual relative to the way we do other mitzvahs. But for example, by tefillin, it's different, because by tefillin, there's a mitzvah that every person should do it, and there's no concept that one should do for everyone, because everyone has to have the tefillin. But here, if it's just a question of publicity, it's just a question of publicizing the miracle, so as long as people got the message, they got the message. See, you don't need more candles. Like, I got it. I understand. I walk by the house and I see, oh, something special happened because I see people have lights outside their house. They're symbolizing something. So I understand that it's Hanukkah. So once I got the message, I don't need to do anything more. So later on, you have the Mahadrin and the other people who said that you want to glorify the mitzvah even more, so you can light more candles. But in its basic form, there's really no reason for that. So therefore, the mitzvah is, in effect, the chovas haguf. It is an obligation on the individual. However, it is done in a way that resembles the mitzvah of mezuzah. In other words, it's different than mezuzah in the sense that a mezuzah is clearly an obligation on the house. And clearly there is no reason, nobody ever in his wildest dreams suggested that every person in the house should hang a mezuzah on the wall. It's absurd to us. It's totally, if you walk by such a house, you know, like as they say, the joke, you know, the person who's a real machner, so they had two mezuzahs, so they asked him why. He said, because that one's for milk and one is for fleshing. Because when I kiss the mezuzah, I don't want to have any questions. All right? But that, you know, if you saw such a person, you send them immediately to get some help. But if you walked by a house and you saw eight mezuzahs or ten mezuzahs, so then there's no question that that's absurd. Why? Because that mitzvah is on the house. Now, go ahead, I'm sorry. So why does the guest have to chip in? Good question. Why does the guest have to chip in? So it seems that because ultimately it's a chovas hagur. In other words, here we're playing both sides of the fence in a certain sense. In other words, because it's a chiyuv on the individual, so every individual has to be accounted for. So if you live in a household, so then the takon of Nerish Ubeso says, other than happy to mention to clarify this point, in other words, when the rabbis made the rule of Nerish Ubeso, so that means that they made it in such a manner that really only need one. You really only need one, you just have to publicize it. But the chiyuv is really on each individual. So they made it that, look, if you're a member of the household, so then you could be spoken for with one candle. But if you're not a member of that household, so even though, in other words, because it's a chovas habayis, not really, but because they made it like a chovas habayis, so then it comes out that if you're not a member of that household, then you're not included. In other words, really, we're playing both sides of the fence. On the one hand, it's a chiyuv on the person. Okay? On the other hand, we say that one candle suffices for the whole household. So the reason for that is because the nature of the mitzvah suggests that it should be enough to have one for the household, but it really, it's a chiyuv on each person, so sort of like the compromise was that if you're part of that household, so then you could be accounted for in that manner. But if not, then you have to find some way to do the mitzvah yourself. That would seem, according to the Pnei Yeshua, the way to make peace between these things. So right there, I just want to point this out, that this is it's very conceptually difficult to understand this. You know, you have to think about this. In other words, that here you have a mitzvah that's on the individual and yet on the household, and to strike the balance between those two things. Now, you'll say, so all right, this is all very nice and theoretical, but what difference does it make? So obviously one difference it makes, we just mentioned, that it has to do with a guest, whether a guest in someone else's home has an obligation to be part of the mitzvah. But there is another very fascinating issue, there are several, but one in particular, that comes up as a result of this shaila, and that is based on the following. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, if you turn over the page, in Shulchan Aruch, at the very beginning of the Hilchos Chanukah, in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says the following thing. The Shulchan Aruch says, Tzorech lizor me'od v'hadlokos neiros. The Shulchan Aruch says that a person must be very, very careful, very diligent in lighting the candles of Hanukkah. How so? V'afilu ani ha'misparnes min hatzokah, even if you had a poor man who is being supported by charity, he has no money of his own, shoel, he either has to borrow, omocher ksuso, or he has to sell his clothes, meaning his extra clothes that he may have, v'lokeach shemen lahadlis, in order to buy either oil or we would say candles, whatever, to buy something that he could light and fulfill the mitzvah of the Hanukkah candles. This is how far it goes. In other words, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us this is very unusual, because when it comes to other mitzvahs, it does not go this far. There's a big discussion, but it seems that based on a statement in the Yerushalmi, that if a person does not have money to do a mitzvah, a person is exempt from that mitzvah. And therefore, theoretically, if a person did not have the money to buy a pair of tefillin, so if a man did not have the money to buy a pair of tefillin, he's absolved from the mitzvah, he's exempt from the mitzvah. Right, so based on, this is a very big debate, exactly how the Yerushalmi is to be understood, and essentially the way it seems to be understood in the mainstream is that if he would not be exempt to the point that if he had the ability to borrow someone's tefillin, he would have to borrow someone's tefillin. However, to have to sell everything he has in order to fulfill the mitzvah, he would not be obligated. He would not, so it seems, that he would not be obligated. But yet, when it comes to the mitzvah derabbanan of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that here you have to do it, a person has to do anything, and it's brought down, even though the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say this, but in the Mishnah Berurah, which unfortunately is not on the page, the Mishnah Berurah is not on the sheet here, the Mishnah Berurah says that when the Shulchan Aruch said the word Shoel, so I translated the word Shoel to mean that he has to borrow, but that's not really what it means. The word Shoel means he has to ask. What does it mean he has to ask? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Shoel al ha'tochen, that he has to go knocking on doors. He has to go asking people for, he has to ask. He has to ask for tzedakah. A person, if he was not furnished with the candles for Hanukkah, would have to go knock on doors and say, please help me, I have to fulfill this mitzvah. Please give me money to fulfill this mitzvah. That's how far the chiyuv goes. Now obviously by us today, a box of Hanukkah candles is a very inexpensive item, but that was not always the case, and also, you know, well, there was a time that people had nothing at all. So therefore, if a person with the town charity fund has to make sure, much in the same way that the other place where we find this concept is when it comes to the four cups of wine by the Pesach Seder, that you have to do everything, and therefore it's incumbent upon the seaboard to see to it that the Aniyim have wines that are betosos, or at least grape juice, to give people, that's something that a person must have, a must have. So too, the Hanukkah candles, a person must have. Now why is it that we're so strict here? So the poskim say that this is because of Pursume Nisa, this is because the obligation to publicize the miracle is so great that you have to do whatever you can, and a person has to appreciate what happened on Hanukkah, and a person has to go to the fullest extent to publicize the miracle, and even if you don't have the ability to light candles, you have to go knock on doors. You have to be shalom tzvach and knock on doors and beg people, please give me the money. So, the question, okay, very strict halakha. So now, somebody raised the question that what would be, he'll say, well, today this would never happen because, like I said before, Hanukkah candles you can get for probably a dollar for a box of the candles. What's the big deal? Really, even an ani doesn't need it to do the mahadrin. You know, you could just buy one candle every night, so just for a few pennies, you could do the mitzvah very easily. So today, this halakha would be a moot point. However, today, there's a different shaila, which was true all the time, but particularly today. What happens if a person doesn't have a house? If a person doesn't have a house, it's coming Hanukkah, and he goes, I don't have a house. What am I going to do? I'm homeless. I don't have a place to light the menorah. So if I don't have a place to light the menorah, so then I'm missing one of the components that's needed to do the mitzvah. In other words, if you're going to say, see, if you tell me that the chiyuv of the Ner Chanukah is an obligation on the house itself, like mezuzah, so then it's obvious that if a person does not have a house, they don't have the mitzvah. They don't have the mitzvah. I don't have a house. So the mitzvah of mezuzah is always to have a house. I don't have a house. I don't have to go buy a house in order to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. Theoretically, if a person his whole life born in someone else's home, he would not be ever accused of not having fulfilled such a mitzvah because I don't have the mitzvah. If you have a house, it's situational. If you have a house, you need a mezuzah. But if you're going to say, as we are claiming, that the obligation to light the Hanukkah candles is an obligation on every individual, but the way they, the rabbi set it up is that you have to have, you have to do it in a certain manner. So the chiyuv is on the person. Just the way you do it is that it has to be done in a person's house. So then that means that that's a component of how the mitzvah is done. So if that's true, so then the same way a person has to knock on doors to beg, please give me money for the Hanukkah candles, a person would similarly have to knock on doors. I need a house. I need a house. Which would be a good thing. If you think about it, before Hanukkah, right, a person who, you know, couldn't afford a down payment on a house, it's very simple. I'll go to the community and tell people, hey, look, it's your obligation. You have to help me. I have a chiv, right? You would be inundated with Mishulachim before Hanukkah, right? People would be knocking on the door saying, okay, listen, I need a house. And it's very hard to get a mortgage today, so, you gotta really help me. What could you do? So the question is this true? Now you say that's an exaggerated example, but let's say a person could get an apartment, or let's say a person is closing on a house, in the process of closing on the house. Do I have to rush to get it done before Hanukkah or not? Can I say, whenever it's done, it's done. I don't have a place now, I don't have a place to light the menorah. Right now I'm boarding in someone else's home. So what? I'm living by my parents, whatever, you know, in which case I wouldn't even have to chip in. So what? So this is right, but the fact of the matter is, if it's a chiyuv, it's a chiyuv. So this question was asked to Rabbi Yosef Shom Eliashiv the South, and he said, in fact, that it is an obligation that a person has to have a house in order to for Hanukkah, and therefore it would come out that a person really would have to do whatever he could to get a house in order to have a place to light the menorah. Because as we said, even though the mitzvah is put on the individual, but having a house is the way the mitzvah is done, so he should have to get a house in order to do the mitzvah.
We're talking about a person who's living on the street.
Homeless guy, that would be the best example, but let's say he didn't have that. Even a person who was in someone else's home, let's say, and couldn't be mishtatik, let's say he was, a homeless guy would be probably the best example. Right.
Someone sent in a question.
Yeah. That's what he said. He said, based on halacha, if you knew a person that didn't have a house, you'd have to help him out to get a house in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, which seems very bizarre, chiddush to us. But that's what he said. So this was his psak. Now it happens to be that this was challenged greatly by many people, including his own son-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who, among others, leveled very strong challenges to this psak, and they based it on a tosfos that we find here in Maseches Sukkah. I apologize for the lack of air conditioning, I'm trying to make it very quick. Okay, we find here, the tosfos says, there's a very not so well-known halacha in the Hilchos Chanukah, and that is that a person who, there are certain situations where a person who sees a menorah, just seeing a lit menorah would require a person to make a bracha. Okay, the Gemara tells us it's in Gemara in Shabbos, also in Sukkah, it says that haroa ner shel Chanukah tzarech lavar, that a person who sees a Chanukah menorah has to say a bracha. What bracha would he say? So obviously he's not going to say Lahadus Ner Shel Chanukah. That would be absurd. He's not lighting the candle. But he would say the bracha She'asam Isim La'Avoteinu, the same bracha that we say, the second bracha, he would say, because that's the Pursumei Nisa bracha, that's the bracha where you're saying that I acknowledge that this is because of the miracles that happened. So the Shulchan Aruch, so the halacha is that a person who sees a menorah has to say that bracha. Now, who does that apply to? You'll say, I never in my life said such a bracha, did such a thing. So the explanation that's given in the poskim is that this would apply only to a person who had no house. A person who, for some reason, was away and had no ability to light a menorah, so therefore in that situation he's not going to be doing the mitzvah himself. If he's not going to be doing the mitzvah himself, so then if he's someone else lit the menorah and he sees it, he has to say the bracha. This is what the Gemara says. And this very unusual din which we don't find by any other mitzvah. So sure enough, Tosfos here in the Gemara Maseches Sukkah is bothered. Why don't we ever find this by other mitzvahs? Why do we only find this by the mitzvah of Hanukkah? He says, "V'shar mitzvahs on lulav v'sukkah lo tiknu l'varach l'roah." Elo kapi ner Chanukah. Why is it only by the Chanukah candles? Says Tosfos two possible answers. The first possible answer is mishum chavivus hanes. One answer is because the miracle of Chanukah is so beloved that therefore it really trumps other things, which is quite remarkable. Even that would mean it trumps even Pesach and Sukkot. In other words, this is such an incredible thing that because of the chavivus hanes, therefore they made a special bracha. That is Tosfos' first explanation. They didn't do it by any other mitzvah. Then he says, V'gam mishum she'esh kama b'nei odom she'en lahem batin v'en v'yodom l'kayim ha-mitzvah. He says the second possible explanation is because not everyone has a house. Apparently in the times of Gemara, you had homeless people. You had homeless people that didn't have a place, so they would stay here, there, whatever. They would find each night a place to stay, right? We know, right, that the expression that you have, you know, the old Yiddish expression when a person walks into a room and it's a mess. So one of the ways that is referred to in the people, the Yiddish speaking culture, is that they say it's a hektish over here, right? It's a mess. What does it mean it's a hektish? Because hektish means something that is the consecrated, you know, like a shul type of thing. Because in the old times, a shul was the place that poor people, or homeless people, used to come and sleep in the shul. Right? That's what we find. That's why they make kiddush. That's why to this day, in many shuls, we still make kiddush on Friday night in the shul, because that's the way it was. You had it today, Baruch Hashem. Largely, we don't know from this. But in the old times, it was not uncommon. You had a person, they didn't have a dwelling. They didn't have a dwelling, so they had to go from place to place to place, and none of those places were legally theirs, right? The one night they'll sleep in the shul, the next night they'll sleep over here, the people slept in all kinds of places. So therefore, says Tosfos, because you had people who did not have a house, they didn't have a house, and they couldn't fulfill the mitzvah, so therefore they made a bracha, they made a thing that you could still say a bracha when you see a menorah, even if you couldn't light one yourself. To which Tosfos says, however, v'tam rishon nicha, says Tosfos, but the first answer is better than the second one. Why? The lotikshule mezuzah. It's better in the sense that you should not ask the question from mezuzah. Meaning that you'll ask, so what about mezuzah? Why didn't they make a special bracha that a person should say when he sees a mezuzah? Because after all, not everybody has the ability to fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah. Right? So it must be that if you're gonna tell me that there are certain mitzvahs that are hard to do, and therefore they made a bracha, you can't do the mitzvah yourself, but when you see the mitzvah you should say a bracha on it, so then by mezuzah they should have done the same thing. Says Tosfos, so therefore that question would be understood if you tell me that the reason why they did it by Chanukah was because by Chanukah there's a special thing, because the miracle was beloved. So if the miracle is beloved to each and every one of us, so therefore that doesn't apply by mezuzah. So therefore they made a special bracha. But if you tell me that the reason they made the special thing by Chanukah is because of the fact that not everybody could do the mitzvah, so they should have done that for mezuzah too. So says Tosfos. So many people point out, Chaim Kanievsky is also in the Sefer of Harei Kedem, Yashpeh Salveitchik, other people point to this Tosfos and say that it would seem from here that how could you make such an equation? How could you say that the mezuzah, Tosfos is putting mezuzah and Chanukah in the same boat? That lighting the Chanukah candle is a similar mitzvah to putting a mezuzah on your house. But we're saying that it's not true. We're saying that in fact they're two different mitzvahs, because of the fact that putting a mezuzah on the house clearly is an obligation only on the house. And if you don't have a house, you don't have a house, so what? But when it comes to Chanukah, it's a chiyuv on the individual, in which case it's entirely different. So what are you telling me that we would have had a question, why didn't they do it by mezuzah? So based on this, people conclude that in fact the mitzvah of Chanukah is really a mitzvah on the house and not a mitzvah on the person. That's what they say. And therefore the argument was made against Rav Eliyashiv Pesach. The argument was made that therefore if it's a chiyuv on the house, meaning it's only if you have a house that you have to do this mitzvah. So if I don't have a house, I don't have a house. See, if it's an obligation on a person, So the difference between an obligation on a person and an obligation on the house is that if an obligation on the person, then I have to find a way to do it. If I have the mitzvah, I have to find a way to do it. If it's an obligation on the house, then it's only if there's a house. If I have a house, I have to do it. If not, not. So therefore, I don't have to bend over backwards to get a house. The same way, no person has to bend over backwards to get a house to hang a mezuzah. If you have a house, you have to put a mezuzah, but you don't have to go make yourself crazy to get a house. You don't have your own house. But if it's a chiyuv on a person, right, like by tefillin. There's tefillin, the chiyuv on a person. So first of all, let's say you got stuck somewhere without tefillin. So you have an issue, you have to go borrow someone's tefillin. You can't say, well, I don't have it. Well, you have to get one. You have to get one. Because that's just the way it is. It's a chiyuv on the person. Whereas, if it's a chiyuv on the house, then you don't have to. So from this Tosfos, it would seem that it's a chiyuv on the house. This was the point that was made to the counter to Rav Yossi's argument. So basically, I'm just going to cut it short here because I see it's very, very hot and a little uncomfortable. So just to cut to the chase, so in effect, this question was asked to him, and he said, despite this Tosfos, he said he has very strong reason to believe that it's a chiyuv on the person, and this is based on a psak of the Rambam, which I apologize was not put on the sheet, this is my error, but the Rambam says in the Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam says clearly the following. The Rambam says exactly what we're referring to, that yesh mitzvah saseh, I apologize not on the sheet, yesh mitzvah saseh, she'odom chayav l'shtad v'lirdo. There are certain mitzvahs that a person has to do whatever he can to fulfill those mitzvahs. Okay, and what are those? Kigon, tefillin, sukkah, lulav, shofar. Okay, those mitzvahs a person has to do whatever he can to fulfill because of the fact that those mitzvahs are achiyav on the person. A person on Rosh Hashanah has to hear the blowing of the shofar, so you have to find a way. You have to find someone if you either blow it yourself or if you can't do it yourself, you have to make your way to a shul. You have to, right? A person with tefillin has to get himself a pair of tefillin. But then he says, the yesh mitzvahs, then there are, he says, the elohim and the kron klova. These are mitzvahs that are obligatory. Then he says, but there are other mitzvahs which are reshut, meaning you're not obligated to do it. It's totally situational. Kigon, mezuzah umaka. For example, the mitzvah mezuzah, or the mitzvah maka. Maka means the person put a fence around his roof, so that no one should fall off. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. So that is a mitzvah. If you have a house, you have to have a mezuzah, but you don't have to go ahead and get a mezuzah, get a house for that purpose. Says the Rambam, if a person wants his whole life to live on a boat, right? He's going to sleep in a tent, let's say, or on a boat. So then he'll go his whole life without a mezuzah. No problem, because you don't have to go out of your way to fulfill the mitzvah. Only if you have a house, now you have to do it. But otherwise, you don't have to do it. Whereas tefillin, lulav, sukkah, those types of things, you must do. So then he says, the same kol ha mitzvah sheni divrei sofrim, they mitzvah shen chova. He says the same thing is true when it comes to the mitzvahs that are the rabbanon. And there are certain mitzvahs the rabbanon that are an obligation on a person exactly like tefillin. And he lists off kigon mikra megillah, to read the megillah on Purim, v'hadlokas ner Shabbos, and to light Shabbos candles, which is a mitzvah the rabbanon, v'hadlokas ner Chanukah, and you have the lighting of the Chanukah candles. Those are all mitzvahs that a person must do, midrabbanan. And then he says, but there are also mitzvahs midrabbanan that are situational. For example, Netilas Yadayim, right? If you don't want to eat bread, you can go your whole life not washing Netilas Yadayim, no problem, right? You say, well, I never washed my hands Netilas Yadayim. You didn't have to. You don't have to put yourself in a situation that you're going to wash. Okay, so to Erev, the mitzvah of Erev, which is a mitzvah midrabbanan, right, in some form. So again, that's optional. You want to make an error, fine. You don't want to make an error, it's also fine. It's up to you. So the Rambam says that there are certain mitzvahs that a person must do, a certain mitzvahs that a person, if the situation arises, must do, but he doesn't have to put himself into that situation. When the Rambam lists off the mitzvahs that are achieved on each person, he lists clearly hadlokas ner Chanukah. So Rav Eliezer said that it's clear in the Rambam that the Rambam holds that it's achieved on the person. And as far as postal goes, he says it's a good observation that one would think it should not be put in the same week as mezuzah, but nevertheless, he says, must be the Tosfos meant that one would have thought that even though it's true that a mezuzah is not a chiyuv on a person, but nevertheless, still the chazal should have made a bracha to such a person. It's a dochi to say, but that's what he wants to say. But based on the Rambam, Rabbi Yashin said that it's clear that it is a chiyuv on the person to do it, and as we said from the Pnei Yeshua, it's only that the rabbis made the format of the mitzvah that it should be in one's home. But in essence, it's an obligation on every single individual, and therefore he said if a person did not have a house, he would have to do whatever he could to get himself a house before Hanukkah to fulfill the mitzvah, if it was possible, if he was involved in purchasing a house, and he could speed the process so that he could have the house in time for Hanukkah, he would be obligated to do so. This is what he said. In the end of the day, this is many people do not agree with him for other reasons. The contemporary posts can say that one could fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah simply by seeing a menorah, like the Gemara says, and that's also a good enough option that if a person didn't have a house, he wouldn't have to go buy one. So if it comes down to it, if you know anyone who knocks on your door, it's still going to be the whole week that they have this mitzvah. So if someone knocks on your door today and comes and says, I need a substantial donation because I need to buy a house. I'm not asking you for food. I need to buy a house because I have to light a menorah, and tonight it's going to be, and tomorrow night, and the night after, and the night after. You got to help me, big time. Got to have a big check. So you have the right to say to him, and he'll say, well, and I even know from the great poskim, someone who says that, that's true, but there are also great poskim who disagree. The fundamental issue, really, is not so much that this shaila would come up that often, and I usually try to address things that are more common. This is more theoretical, but the essence of the issue is what to understand in this, when you light the Hanukkah candles, what are you doing? Is this an obligation on each person, or is it an obligation on the household? Now, just for the record, again, it's hot and it's late, so I don't want to get into it, but this has bearing on practical shilas as well. As for example, if you had two people living in a household who were just sharing, let's say they have roommates who are boarding together, they shift in to rent an apartment, or they're renting a house, but they're not family, and they eat separately, they just happen to be, have two students or whatever, people, you know, that they have to commonly happen that they take a place to live together, but each one is really independent. Would it be enough to have one menorah or not? Would it be enough? So here again, you have the same shaila. If you say that's an obligation on the house, so then the fact that we are totally independent, not related, we don't eat together, we do everything separate, just that we share the same dwelling, so if it's an obligation on the house, you still only need one menorah, because the house needs a menorah. So the fact that we're not connected would say big deal, but nevertheless, the house has a menorah. On the other hand, if you tell me that it's a chiyuv on the individual, so if it's an obligation on the individual, then really each individual has to do it. And the whole reason that in a regular household, you just need one, is because the rabbis made Nerish Ubeso, the rabbis made it that for all the members of the household, everyone is included, but that's only if you're part of the household. If you're totally second to, not part of the household, meaning you're just two people randomly sharing the same dwelling, then you would have to have two menorahs. So in fact, we hold that the halacha. That if you had two people in a situation like that, each one would have to have his own menorah. Okay? One other case where that comes, where this would come up, would be if you have a man who's traveling on Hanukkah and his wife is home, and his wife is lighting in the house. So if his wife is lighting in the house, so now the question is, does the man have an obligation to light his own menorah in the hotel room where he's either traveling on business, whatever it may be, and he's in a certain place, does he have to light a menorah? And you'll say, well, I'm happy to do it. Everyone loves doing this mitzvah. I'll disable the smoke alarm, right? And I'll run the risk of being evicted from the hotel, and I'll light a menorah right there. Okay? But the fact is that there's a question whether you'd be allowed to say the bracha in such a case, because if you're not obligated to do it, then you can't say a bracha, because you don't have that chiyuv. So again, this would play out. So we hold, in fact, like the Pnei Yeshua says, that it is an individual on the yachid. If each person has his own chiyuv, however, if you're part of a household, so then because the main point of the mitzvah is to to make some recognition of the miracle. So then they only obligated one to the entire household. So then if your household is lighting, then you don't need it. So therefore, it come out that if a man's wife was home and she lit the menorah in the house, the man has really no obligation to light a menorah. So now, if this is a big question, which I was going to get to if the environment would have been a little different, but this is a big question. What are you doing in such a case, right? But the fact of the matter is that if a man is in such a situation and wants to light a menorah without saying the brachas, there's no problem. If he wants to light a menorah and say the brachas, so then he has to do one of the following. He either has to call his wife and ask her, what time are you lighting the menorah? And before she does that, he can light the menorah in his hotel room. In other words, she says, okay, I'm going to light the menorah tonight at 7 o'clock. For whatever reason, I have some time, I'm going to get home. 7 o'clock, I'm going to light the menorah. And let's say the time begins earlier than that. So at 6:30, he goes 6:40, whatever, he could in his room light the menorah and say the brachas. Or the other thing he could do would be to have in mind that he does not want to be yotzei with his wife lighting the menorah. But this point in the Mishnah Berurah is heavily debated whether you could do that. So just for the record, okay, obviously if a husband and wife are both traveling, there's no question. Then they have to light the menorah wherever they are. But if you have a situation where you have the woman is home and the man is traveling, And the man is in the hotel, and he brought his little menorah that he bought in the store, a very nice little menorah, and he's going to light it, and everyone's going to be happy, and he's looking forward to doing the mitzvah, saying the brachas. It's not so simple, because if his wife is lighting it in the house, they fulfill the mitzvah. So then what does he need to do it for? So you'll say, well, maybe, but he needs to see the persume nisa. That may be true, but they didn't necessarily make the mitzvah to light candles for that. So therefore, if this is a real shayla, people don't take this into consideration. They just assume, you know, let's go. So you'll say, and even though we hold today the halacha of the mahajman, everyone likes the menorah, it wouldn't help for this. Because the fact of the matter is that a husband and a wife are considered one unit, they're considered one entity. So therefore, if the wife lit it, so that's it, it's as if the husband lit it. So if a man in such a situation wants to light the candles, and he could light the candles, then say, no problem. But if he wants to say the brothers, and light the candles, then he has to make an arrangement. The best thing would be to tell his wife that, let me light first, don't light it at home till I did it in my hotel room, and then you can proceed. Or else, he could rely perhaps on the Levine's opinion that he could have in mind that he does not want to be yotzei with his wife. I apologize for the heat. Yes.